How's it going, everyone? Welcome to another fantastic episode of Thorn's Jungle. I hope everyone's having a good week so far. My week's gone all right. I'm pretty good. Just had a couch delivered today. Not for me, because I love my couch. It's for the missus. She hates the couch. So pretty much we took one section out. She's got her own little recliner there, and I'm on the other side with my old brown couch. But, man, I've tried so many couches, tested them out, and none are as comfortable as my good old trusty brown couch. It's a bloody great couch. They just don't make them like they used to, you know? They're just, I don't know. They're just crap. I must have planted my ass on 100 couches. None even came close. So that couch is staying for the time being. Good old trusty brown. Code brown. Oh, and as you can see, well, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see, but if you're watching it on YouTube, I'm wearing a Thorn's Jungle long sleeve t-shirt. And these are available for purchase off the website, biothorn.com.au. You can get your own Thorn's Jungle t-shirt. How cool are they? It's for those that are listening and not watching. It's just the logo, the Thorn's Jungle logo, on a black long sleeve shirt. But I love it. It's got this ape. That was modeled off, that ape on the Thorn's Jungle logo was modeled off a monkey called a drill. Now, you've probably heard of a mandrill, Rafiki from, I was going to say Rafiki from Star Wars, from The Lion King. He's a mandrill. And then there's another monkey that's in the same genus, Mandrillus, but it's just called a drill. And in my opinion, I reckon they look cooler than mandrills. They look so, like, macabre. They're cool-looking monkeys. So that's what that is. That's modeled off a drill. So in case you were wondering, which you probably weren't. Anyway, this episode is about sharks. It's about bull sharks. And I watched Under Paris. It's just sort of come out on Netflix. I watched that over the weekend. And that kind of inspired this episode. The sharks in Under Paris weren't bull sharks, but they were swimming in places where you wouldn't really expect a shark to swim. And Under Paris, they were swimming in the catacombs and stuff under the city. It was an alright movie. It was nowhere near as good as Deep Blue Sea, which is one of my favourite movies, but my all-time favourite shark movie. I just, like, I know it's a movie, but I just can't help but, like, almost get offended at some of, like, the mistakes they made. Like, what was one of them that, like, infuriated me? Oh, we're in the shark's nest. Like, hey, shark's nest? they build nests now? Anyways, yeah, so I've just got to, like, remind myself, it's a movie, all right? It's not a documentary. It didn't really happen. But the closest thing that sort of does happen with sharks swimming in areas they shouldn't usually involves a bull shark. And bull sharks are so cool. They're, like, yeah, really cool. And they end up in places. I don't want to say in places where they shouldn't end up, because, you know, they end up where they end up. That's just their natural sort of habitat. They are either looking for food or looking for nesting grounds, nah, or nursing grounds, or, you know, where to give birth. But bull sharks are one of very few sharks that are capable of swimming into fresh water. They're not true freshwater sharks by any means. There are true freshwater sharks, like the Glyphis shark, which actually looks very similar to the bull shark, but they're way, way, way more uncommon. And they're not responsible for anywhere near the amount of attacks on humans as bull sharks. But the cool thing about bull sharks are they end up in places you really wouldn't expect to find a shark. And it's always like fascinated me. And I've always found it so cool that sharks can end up like, you know, in sewers or in lakes or in rivers. And that is probably why I like deep blue sea so much, because there's sharks swimming around in a lab, in an underwater laboratory. Like, they're swimming through hallways. They're in a kitchen attacking LL Cool J. And by the way, do you know what the LL stands for in front of Cool J? LL Cool J? Ladies love Cool J. You ate my bird. And he flicks the lighter and blows the incredibly intelligent, genetically engineered shark up. Great movie. Great movie. Anyway, I digress. But I think it's so cool. Like, just that imagery of a shark fin swimming down like a hallway or a passageway. It's attacking them on an elevator. I mean, bull sharks quite haven't done that, but they've still ended up in some pretty weird places. And the difference between like a bull shark and, let's say, a great white shark or most other sharks that live in salt water, bull sharks' organs have well adapted to retaining salt and chloride. So your cartilage, your elasmobranchs, which are like your sharks, your rays, and your chimeras, their anal organ secretes excess salt. The ocean is salty, and they kind of need their blood to be as salty as the seawater, but it is still excess salt builds up. So their anal organs excrete salt. Bull sharks, their anal organ is adapted and has sort of evolved to retain the salt. And their kidneys, all their organs, in fact, play a role in retaining that salt. So when they swim into a freshwater environment, they're not excreting that salt. They're holding on to it because they need it to live. They need their blood to be as salty as the ocean. And bull sharks can live their entire lives in fresh water. You know, and that is, they can swim from salt water, from the ocean, into a freshwater environment and live there for the rest of their lives. There was some sort of debate as to whether they could live their entire life in fresh water, but there's some evidence, well, a lot of evidence and circumstances where bull sharks have lived for, you know, well over a decade in fresh water. So it's probably safe to say that they can live their entire lives in fresh water. And they, like, for example, have been found, let me just see the numbers on this, 4,000 kilometers up the Amazon River. So that's 2,500 miles up the Amazon, which is fresh water, well into fresh water up there for sure. And how long it would take them to swim up there, how long they would stay around there, would be quite a long time. And that is so cool because the Amazon, especially in the rainy season, is basically just a flooded rainforest. So they're swimming amongst trees, you know, they're swimming over plants. It's just a cool image of like a forest with water and a fin going through. I mean, how cool is that? They've also been found 1,000 kilometers up the Mississippi River, so 700 miles up the Mississippi, all the way up to Alton in Illinois. So, I mean, I'm not too familiar with the geography of Illinois, but if you are an American and know that, then it might be more mind-blowing to you than it is to me. But, you know, 700 miles up the Mississippi, that's a big feat, you know. It's quite a feat. They've also been found in, like, Lake Nicaragua, things like that. And bull sharks are very widely distributed throughout the world, in Africa. They're found in the Zambezi River, and they call them the Zambezi shark. In Perth, where I am, our main river is the Swan River, and I don't call them that, but Perthites or Perthians, whatever we want to be called, call them the Swan River Whaler. I just call them bull sharks. So wherever they are in the world, they've got their own sort of colloquial term for them. But they're all Carcharhinus lucus. They're all bull sharks. And every now and again, bull sharks will be seen swimming down the main streets of Queensland. So Queensland is in Australia. It's the eastern part of Australia. The capital city is Brisbane, but Queensland's the state. And every now and again, the streets will flood and bull sharks will swim through the streets of Brisbane and other streets in Queensland. When was it? 2010 and 2011, there were floods in Queensland, and bull sharks were seen swimming through the main streets. One was sighted near a McDonald's, swimming around a Macca's. That would be me if I was a bull shark. I'd be straight to the McDonald's. I'll be going through that drive-thru. You just see like a fin going past the drive-thru. Double quarter pounder, please. Large fries. Diet Coke. Make sure it's diet. Don't give me a full sugar regular Coke. You bastards. Trying to not poison me with sugar. Sugar's not poison, but, you know, if I'm going to eat 1,300 calories in a meal, I don't want another 150 calories of just drink. I'd rather eat my calories. Anyway, I digress. There was also one seen near a butcher shop, which makes sense. If you're a shark and you're swimming, you know, now you can swim throughout the town, you'd be straight to the butcher shop, wouldn't you? You know, with your pectoral fin flapping on the door, trying to knock. Hey, mate, one sirloin, please. Anyway, so bull sharks are actually responsible for quite a few shark attacks. Now, I don't want to say lots of shark attacks, because there aren't really lots of shark attacks anyway. Shark attacks are incredibly rare as it is. There's only maybe 12 to 15 fatal shark attacks a year. There used to almost be a competition between great white sharks and bull sharks, but they think now that a lot of shark attacks that were attributed to great white sharks probably came from bull sharks. Now, a famous one was the New Jersey shark attacks. I can't remember what year it was, but it was a long time ago. It's what Jaws was based on, when the dude was writing the novel. His name escapes me. Anyway, so there was a series of shark attacks over this summer in New Jersey, and they were happening in places that you would expect shark attacks, or is not unheard of to be shark attacks, like in bays and stuff. But then there was a couple of shark attacks down an estuary and down a creek, and there were some weird things that happened. They did catch a great white shark near that creek. Now, great white sharks and other ocean sharks have been known to briefly swim into freshwater or brackish water, but very briefly. There's a few explanations for this. One, they're just chasing food. They hang around there for a day and then they piss off again. Or they're going into freshwater to kill any parasites that are on them. And that might be, I mean, it's a chicken and the egg thing, because they do find a lot of sick sharks that are marine sharks in freshwater. And they think, are they coming into freshwater because they're sick and they're trying to get rid of it to kill the parasites? Or is the freshwater making them sick? It's the chicken and the egg thing. So that was kind of strange. But the series of attacks were very conducive of bull shark attacks because they were happening in estuaries. And it might not have just been one shark. That's the thing. Could have been multiple sharks that were, perpetrating these attacks. But anyway, interesting little story there that the novel Jaws was based on those New Jersey shark attacks. And a fantastic movie. You know, if Deep Blue Sea didn't exist, then Jaws, it's a masterpiece, man. It's a masterpiece. Not very great for sharks. Didn't do good for sharks. Kind of ruined them for a lot of people. It did demonize sharks. And I know Steven Spielberg does regret making Jaws because of that. I mean, it put him on the map, but it also put shark attacks and demonized sharks. But it's a fantastic movie, regardless. And that brings us to the golf course sharks. Again, in Brisbane, Queensland, there is a golf course called the Carbrook Golf Course. And it's a beautiful course. There's a river around it and a series of like big water hazards, like they're lakes. Well, Americans will call them ponds. We call them lakes. Like lakes in America are like the Great Lakes. They're oceans, man. They're enormous. But we call anything that's, let's say, over 50 feet in diameter a lake rather than a pond. But these are big ponds, okay? We call them lakes, but I guess they're man-made, so, you know, they're pond lake, a plake, or a lond, plake or a lond. Jesus Christ. You get what I mean. Anyway, so in 1996, the golf course flooded. There was like torrential rain. And the river that backs onto this golf course kind of burst its bank and overflowed all over the golf course. So it flooded the golf course. So that river backing onto the golf course basically extended its width and spilled over all over the golf course. The golf course dried up, the floods dried up, the water receded, and everything was back to normal. Then for a few months afterwards, there was weird sightings of shark fins in the water hazards, in the plakes or the lons. And it became this like myth, this like legend of Carbrook Golf Course. You know, there's sharks there, and everyone kind of laughs, you know, yeah, okay, I've heard the stories, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until like several years later, it was confirmed that there were bull sharks swimming in the water hazards and living in the water hazards. And not just small bull sharks, huge bull sharks, like 8, 9, 10 foot bull sharks, not little ones. And bull sharks can grow to 12 feet. They're not a small shark. So a news reporter went down there and got great footage of the sharks coming very close to where you pretty much tee off from. And it was confirmed there is a small population of bull sharks swimming in this golf course. And I was always fascinated by that. I was like, I need to get to that golf course. I wanted to do like a little documentary on it. And I emailed the golf club and they were awesome. They were like, yeah, absolutely. We'd love for you to come and film the sharks, but we don't think they're here anymore. So they arrived on that golf course in 1996. I reached out to them. It was probably 2016. So they had been living there for over 10 years and thriving, growing, even giving birth. So that is, strong evidence that they can live, if not their entire life, but a very long time in fresh water. And you'd think, man, how are they surviving? It's not a big pond. They're not big lakes at all, but they are. And I guess that's why they're such a successful species, because they can adapt so well. Anyway, I was like, oh, bloody typical. The time they've been there for over a decade, the time I want to go there and film them, they're gone. So what happened? The river burst its banks again and flooded the golf course, and see you later, sharks. They swam back into the river and nicked off. And I was like, you're joking me. Oh, man. And this golf course probably would have, was devastated as well, because they had, you know, cool little gimmicks like signs with like a shark warning on them. They call some of their like tournaments the shark tournament, the shark challenge, stuff like that. They even changed their logo to a shark. So they were like cashing in on this novelty of bull sharks on their golf course, and good on them. You know, they didn't catch the sharks and put them there. It was a complete freaky fluke that they got there, but hey, why not make the most of it? So I'm sure they were pretty devastated about it as well. And they were saying, look, we think they're gone. There hasn't been any sightings of fins in months, in about 6 months since the flood. And then maybe a year or two later, I keep tabs on their Facebook page and stuff, just in case somebody sighted something. And months and months later, it would have been, yeah, at least a year or two even, someone took a photo and video of little fins. Like, there was some commotion in the water, in one of the water hazards, and there was small bull sharks eating fish. They were back. The sharks were back, baby. So what happened is the big sharks left, and little sharks either came or remained in that in the water hazards. So I was like, well, that's the next best thing to large bull sharks. Man, I'm booking tickets. I'm heading over there. After a little bit of procrastinating, I wanted to confirm that the sharks were there before I headed over there. And it flooded again, and the sharks haven't been sighted since. And still to this day, there has been no conclusive sightings or evidence of the sharks in the water hazards. So I'm pretty devastated about it, because that would have been so cool. No joke, you can see golfers playing golf and fins swimming next to them. It's like, would you want to fetch your ball? I mean, imagine how many balls are built up in that water hazard, because no one wants to go in there and get them. But it was so cool. Like, you got snakes on a plane, sharks on a golf course, you know? It's a really cool situation, but you know, we had over 10 years of that, and now it's gone. All good things must come to an end, as they say. But still, it happened. There's photos, there's videos. Bull sharks were swimming around a golf course, which is really damn cool. And I thought it was cool because it takes me back to the deep blue sea thing. Sharks being where you wouldn't think they would be. That, yeah, it's not quite an underwater laboratory or swimming in sewers. Although there has been cases of bull sharks in sewers. Not like, you know, swimming amongst like thick turd, you know, but like swimming in wastewater, wastewater drainage and things like that. They end up in very peculiar places. And I remember reading as a kid, and I've never been able to find it before, that there was a shark found like under New York City. And I just vaguely remember, I still remember the like illustrated picture of it though, but I can't remember any more details. So if you can find anything like that, anybody, send it to me, because it's always fascinated me. Like, there was a picture of, I mean, it was drawn, but there was a picture of the Statue of Liberty and like the city in the background. And then there was a shark underneath it. And I always thought that was so cool. Like, you got the sewer alligators and things like that. Man, sharks. And speaking of reptiles and sharks, alligators and sharks, where Rob and I take our guests in South Africa when we do these trips, We go to a town called St. Lucia, and the river that runs through St. Lucia, we go out on a boat looking for hippos and crocodiles, but it's one of the only few places on the planet where you've got like a triple threat. You've got hippos in that river, you've got crocodiles in that river, and you've got sharks in that river, bull sharks. And every time we go, we see the hippos, that's great. We see crocodiles probably half of the time, but we're still like just hanging to see a fin. Like, man, that would like make the trip. Just seeing a fin or a glimpse of a dorsal fin and a caudal fin thrashing behind it, like that would make that trip so much better. Like, people that come on the trips, they get a thrill if they've never seen a hippo before or a crocodile. Rob and I have obviously seen them many a times, the hippos and the crocs, but we just need that bull shark, man. That is one river where you would not in a million years want to swim in. And it just sort of like raises the question, like, there are bull sharks in that river and they are so rarely seen. Where else are bull sharks swimming that we don't really know? You know, it's a pretty eerie sort of feeling that, like, we feel safe in freshwater, especially like if we're in a place where there's no crocodiles or hippos or anything like that. We like to feel safe swimming in fresh water. You know, there's nothing that can hurt us in fresh water other than like parasites and like your boring stuff. But there are sharks that can go into those places where you like to swim. And that's why bull shark attacks, apart from great whites, are up there in the species that cause shark attacks, because bull sharks swim where humans like to swim: ocean, estuaries, lakes, rivers, creeks. So great white sharks have the ocean, right? But bull sharks, they can do it one better. They can sort of go into our territory, our domain, which is like the freshwater, even though it's not our domain, but, you know, we feel safe. Yeah, let's go swimming in the lake. Damn it. Nah, 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 nah. And then you're eaten by a bull shark. In fact, I think it was last year, there was a fatal bull shark attack in our river here, in the Swan River. And we know there's bull sharks in there. The last shark attack in that river was like 100 years ago, where some kid was eaten. And last year, a girl was eaten. A girl and her friends were swimming in the river. And it was like right in front of people's houses as well. And she was fatally attacked. And then the year before that, a dude had a buttock removed by a bull shark. So it's like, we haven't had a shark attack in that river in 100 years. And then within the span of like 12 months, there was two, and one of them were fatal. And the dude that got his ass bitten off, like, I think he's still in hospital. He's still like not in a good way. You know, you need your ass cheeks to walk like that. The glutes are a big muscle. They play a big role, but it was like the shock and he got bad infection, things like that. So, you know, when it rains, it pours. And that river, there's parts of it that are deep, you know, 150 feet, 50 meters. So they get pretty damn deep and it's dark, it's murky. And I've talked to people that go on night dives in the Swan River and they've had big, big animals bump them while they're down there. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's absolutely terrifying. So now they're building shark nets so people can swim in a safe spot. But it's like, if you don't want to get attacked, don't go in the water. It is that simple. It's like, how dare sharks attack us while we're in their home? I'm like, really? Let's go walk around the Serengeti with a bunch of lions and get angry at the lions because they attacked us. You know, come on, be realistic. The sharks are just doing what sharks do. They're opportunistic. Most of the times they don't want to eat you. But in murky water, they can't see you. They can't feel you with hands. So what's the next best thing? They use their mouths. And unfortunately, if you're a 12-foot bull shark or a 16-foot great white, a small nibble means your leg's gone. You know, it's not fully trying to eat you. It's just checking you out. But they're big animals with lots of sharp teeth and that's your leg gone. You know, how hard would it be to like fiddle around with a fly without breaking something on it? You know, it's pretty easy. Or if you're a kid, you purposely do it. You take its wings off and put it hair around it or something like that. But anyway, if you haven't seen Under Paris, it's worth a watch. Hopefully you won't get as triggered by it for all the mistakes as I do. Man, people that watch animal movies with me, that doesn't really happen because of how I am. I'm like, that shouldn't be there. That animal's not native to that area. No, that's weird. That snake's not venomous. Things like that. I'm so bad watching movies with, especially Anacondas, the second Anaconda movie, Hunt for the Blood Orchid. I like it. It's a good movie, in my opinion. But my God, there's the mistakes in that. Jesus Christ. I'll give you a big one. It's based in Borneo, set in Borneo, and there are no anacondas in Borneo. Anacondas do not live in Borneo. Reticulated pythons, yeah, but anacondas, no. So that's a big one. In the opening scene, you see a tiger. Tigers don't live on Borneo, haven't since the Pleistocene. And also, even if it was set in South America, there are no tigers in South America where anacondas live. So anacondas and tigers would never meet in the wild. And there's also macaws flying around. Like, Jesus Christ, why wouldn't you have just made it in South America? Taking the tiger, like, anyway. See, I'm getting triggered right now. But hey, it's worth a watch. It's all right. It's not too bad. Anyway, if you haven't already watched Under Paris, watch it. And let me know what you think. But anyway, if you want a Thorns Jungle t-shirt, buyathorn.com.au. I've got pouches for sale on there. You know, the pouches I wear in Kings of Pain. They're up there for sale. There's some Biothorn shirts. The course still isn't ready, but I will keep you updated. I've seen on my analytics that people have been on the page looking at the course, which I should probably unpublish. Just I don't want anyone signing up to it and it not being finished. But anyway, there's some merch up there if you want it. All right. And watch out for bull sharks, because they will find their way into areas you wouldn't expect. Up your toilet. You could be sitting on the toilet and a shark pops out and bites your date. You know, this is the thing, kind of thing we're dealing with bull sharks. They end up anywhere. I've turned my tap on before in the kitchen and a bull shark's popped out. You know, it was a small one, but hey, it happens. All right. Anyway, have a good week and I'll see you next week on another episode of Thorns Jungle.